each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody and welcome. Hi Tony.
Hey Father.
We missed you yesterday.
Yes,
what happened?
Yeah. Angelica was not feeling too good.
How's she doing? Is she okay?
She's doing better. She's got the sinus thing. It's building up. And I think, I don't know, I guess we lived together.
Yeah.
I don't know if I gave it to her or she gave it to me, but
no,
now I'm feeling the same.
It's the change of the weather again. I mean, it was amazing today. We had the mass for the... Hi, Armin.
Hello.
How are you? What brings you in?
Well, I fixed your TV and we have the tie line running and I laid hands on it and
taking
it was healed.
The miracle worker.
See, so it's Typhoid Tony, huh?
It's me.
So I call Armin, I mean Armin. Armin's the miracle worker. Right. Nick is the magician or the superhero.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, no, that's good. It's good to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Things are good.
Good. Good.
So I've been working in the yard, trying to get over a little bit of a plague that I had, which I probably caught from you about six months ago.
Probably.
Six months ago.
I mean, yeah, that's how it works. Yeah, well, you never know. You touched me, and I've been infected ever since.
There you go.
And such is life, you know?
It is, indeed.
It's a day-to-day, a day-to-day battle,
exactly.
You know? We fight the good fight, we weather the storms, but, you know, I was saying the change in the weather today was amazing, so we had the children's mass this morning. They're graduating today. Our eighth graders are graduating tonight. So actually, they're going to two masses today. So we had mass this morning for the whole school, kind of their farewell mass, and then it'll be back this evening. We'll have mass, and the mass will lead us right into the... you can stay on if you want.
He's always working.
That's why he came.
He's trying to Armin already.
Yeah,
he knows what he's doing.
So they're coming back this evening for the graduations. We have the mass, and then from the mass we go right into the graduation. So they had the side doors. Well, you know how hot and humid it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So today the church was just really, really stuffy. You know, we don't have air conditioning, unfortunately, and so it was really stuffy. But when I went in this morning, they opened the side doors and all that, and so I'm in the sanctuary, so I came down to speak directly to the graduates, you know, give my farewell discourse, you know, last words. Not quite the last, because... tonight I continue to speak, and as I told them, they're not graduating from the church, right?
Right.
So, but I thought, when I went down, I thought, there's this cool breeze coming. It was really, really cold, and I said, are you guys... cold? And they said, please leave it be. So about three quarters of the way into my homily, as I'm speaking to them, I saw that they were actually shivering. I said, are you guys cold? And they said, yeah, we're cold. You know, so I said, I told Nathan, go shut the door, you know, or at least close it a little bit, because there was a huge wind coming through.
I'll tell you, I never know Chicago weather like this. I mean, you never know. I mean, there's times when it's cold, I don't have a jacket. Like today, I figured, okay, it's a little cooler, it's going to be good. I'm cold. So when it's hot, you know, I have a jacket.
Sure.
So
yeah.
You never know.
Well, you got to carry it always with you. You know?
You never always have it.
Wow. So we had our anniversary. Let's just say the beginning of the anniversary. You know, as I mentioned yesterday on the radio, you weren't here.
I listened to the show.
Did you were okay.
And it's funny because as you were talking, I was going back to that marvelous book that No one said anything about that.
Yeah, what was funny about that?
No, it was, I was thinking about a mother's plea.
Yeah.
You know, and as you were telling the
story. Yeah,
really. But I must say, you know, you go back and you say to yourself, wow, I can't believe it's been 10 years for one.
Right, exactly.
But then just thinking of the story is so beautiful. I never tire of listening to it.
Well, we forget though, don't we? We forget from where we've come. Yeah. And, how far we've come, really, when you think about it. When you go back 20 years, because you were here when we started.
Yeah.
And so we're 10 years. The church is open 10 years. And we had a quiet, but beautiful. I have to say the Mass was very beautiful. It was a very nice Mass. We had the choir. Just a few members of the choir were there. But it was just very, very beautiful. The Sullivan family was there. You know, it was very, very nice because... Actually, Rosemary had passed away back in November, and so it was nice that they were all there. And I wanted to acknowledge, you know, the family and the generosity of Rosemary, who from far away, you know, really believed in what we were doing, and she was, a big support from the very beginning. Really got us kind of and anonymously. Because I didn't know, you know, we go back 20 years, and I was sharing the story yesterday, but the church was really dilapidated. It was falling apart. And we had this this grant that gave us the possibility for, you know, to begin the immediate repair of the church. I said that came at the call of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that we entrust, consecrate the parish to her, give it to her, make her mother and queen of the parish. And then, one thing led into another. So $1 million worth of repair ended up being $2 million and then more. And then we were able to go into this restoration. But as we felt this call to sanctuary, it eventually took us about 8 years before we actually opened the doors 24/7. But in the process, in the meantime, we were having to repair this, repair that, restore this, restore that, but we didn't really get into the full restoration until after we actually started about the time we started the radio. All that started at the same time, so that was almost 10 years ago. But but prior to that time, so I mean, I'm indebted, and I have to say, you know, a shout out, a word of gratitude to everybody years who have been
so
supporting
many.
the parish and the sanctuary. But I wanted to acknowledge them yesterday because if it wasn't for this this initial big money that was coming anonymously, I mean, I remember one day. Can you imagine this? I had gone to Starbucks in the morning. I would at that time I would take a walk, you know, along the lake, the Navy Pier, and all that. About 5 in the morning, that would be my morning walk. Then I'd stop and get some coffee, and then come back, and then get started in the day's work. And when I left the rectory, so we had this, there were these needs, big needs, right? But not the money. I mean, big money had come for the beginning of the repair. But as I said, one thing led into another, and it was just this, you know, you just one thing leads to another. So there's just no end to it. And when I left, I saw in the mailbox there was an envelope. So I saw it. I said, okay, well, you know, when I come back, I'll pick it up. You know, I'll get it. So I went for my walk. You know, I was out for an hour. Came back. It was about 6:15. I had my coffee, and I was coming in the rectory, and I took the envelope out of the mailbox. I went into the kitchen, and I'm drinking my coffee, and I had some eating something, and I just opened the envelope. It just said Father Anthony on the envelope, and it was $50,000.
Wow.
Anonymous. I had no idea where it came from. At first, I didn't know that. I've never received something like that before. You know,
so you're looking in shock.
And, I didn't know. You know, what is this? Am I seeing this for real? Is this for real? Well, it was. It was for real. And then that happened every so often. That would happen. That would happen. And it was all anonymous.
Wow.
And I actually wrote about it. And a mother's plea. And I didn't know where it was coming from, but, and it just seemed like when we needed the money, it was there. Yeah. It was there. But anyway, eventually, then I found that this family, and Rosemary being the matriarch of the family, was from a distance, had really put their attention to what was happening here and wanted to see that it come to fruition, you know? So I had to, yesterday, I had to acknowledge, I mean, how could I not? The family was there. It was just really, and it's a huge family. It's just a huge family. And basically, she and her daughter built the studio.
Yes.
Rosemary and Gerilyn built the studio, the radio. So we're on the radio because of their generosity.
Absolutely.
You know, and they've sustained this over the years. Well, she passed away in November. So I wanted to acknowledge that yesterday. So it was a beautiful mass. It was very simple. Like I said yesterday, mm-hmm. we didn't really put a lot of a preparation into that as a, you know, like, not like a big event as it was when we started. But part of that is, as I said yesterday, we were just so much going on. It's just we're moving from one big event to another. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of it all, the tragedies of life, right? Mm-hmm. All these things that come in and you know, you've got to stop everything and you've got to focus on the pain and the lives of a lot of people. But so I thought it was really nice because it was, I had to acknowledge the Anawim, I always call it the Anawim, the little flock that over the years have been very faithful. And to tell a little bit of the story last night, too, and we'll continue to do this as we go into the Corpus Christi on Sunday, because we're having, that's really going to be the big celebration of the 10th anniversary is a Corpus Christi Sunday. So we have the Mass at 9:30 and then a procession through the streets. But I do want to, you know, just say a thank you to everybody, you know, for sustaining us in three ways, can I say. First and foremost, spiritually, because the prayers, people who come, or people who aren't able to come, but they're praying from us from afar, for the prayers, it's just, the prayer is powerful. It's powerful. And that's what really identifies the Anawim. When I say the Anawim, this is a biblical term that it refers to the remnant or the little flock of those who remain faithful when many others go astray, when many others walk away from God or from the faith. God always ensures that there's this little flock, this little group that remains faithful, first and foremost in prayer, because their prayer is what bears fruit. So the prayer bears fruit in the area of morality and virtue, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's a word of thanks, you know, to those who have supported us in from a moral perspective.
Yes.
Morally, you know, through virtue, through keeping, you know, living lives of principle. Mm-hmm. Because this is about authenticity, right? That we're, our prayer bears fruit in authenticity, you know. What is the proof of our prayer is that we're living holy lives. We may not be perfect, none of us are, but we have a great sensitivity to God and a sensitivity to things sacred and a sensitivity to sin. And so we know that, in fact, we would be the first to say, you know, if Scripture says that the just man sins seven times a day, and Peter said, Lord, how many times do I forgive my brother? Seven times a day. And Jesus says, no, not seven, but 70 times a day. We certainly recognize quite humbly, but also with great gratitude, that we are sinners and that we have a Redeemer, we have a Savior. And so we may fall, and we do fall, I shouldn't say we fall, but we get up immediately, but we have that sensitivity so that we don't want to offend God, nor do we want to misrepresent or give scandal to who we are as emissaries of Christ, as disciples of Christ. So I say spiritually, morally, but then also, you know, financially, those who have sustained us through their donations down through the years. I'm speaking about the sanctuary. We're asking financial support, certainly for the radio, because aside from a few people, that has been basically, you know, the support of one family has kept us on the air. But recently there's been others who have come through as well. And by the way, and there are those who do send in their dollar, you know, and that's important. So I say I thank you. I absolutely. But the sanctuary, I'm just speaking about the 10 years since we opened the church 24/7, that, you know, we've got the patrons or of Our Lady, those who contribute, what is it, $1,000 a year anonymously. They're anonymous donors. They contribute anonymously $1,000 a year, so they're maybe giving $20 a week over and above what they give on Sundays.
Regular Sunday offering.
Right. Yes. And so that, hi, Christina, welcome.
Hi, Father. I'm sorry I'm late.
Yeah, that's okay. Armin just took off, and I'm sorry, Armin. It was nice having you in the studio anyway. You know, this is good having Armin.
I was
here.
Just taking care of some business.
No, that's
not taking care of the people.
That's your life.
Yeah.
And thank God you're working, you know.
Yes.
So somebody's got to work, right?
Yes, somebody has to do it.
But anyway, but this, so the 100 patrons, just the people who have supported us, I mean, there's too many to even...
Right. Once you start, you're always going to forget somebody.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So I'm not going to name names, but no, I mean, I do want to... extend a word of acknowledge and
thank you.
And extend a word
it's
of
amazing
gratitude.
All the things that happen in the background. People, they don't want the attention, but they're all part of the story. And that's why that's why I went back to the mother's plea, and I was thinking as you were talking, you know, I remember the story. It's almost like reading it again, and that's what I'm going to do, because that's what I pulled my book out and started reading again.
Yeah.
It's just such a beautiful story, and if many people knew that, it's just part of life.
Yes. So the mother's plea, like you said, is a story. It's we never set out to write a book.
No.
But we did, and people witnessed the things that I write about.
Sure.
People witnessed. So you know, people might say, this is a figment of his imagination, or this is
it's a true story.
It's all, you know, people witness all these things, you know. So
and there's people that already have gone. They're not here anymore who witnessed.
Right.
Jerry.
And countless other, and there's still people.
So many.
So many that are gone, and there's still some that are still here.
I still say there's about three more books to be done.
Yeah, if it be the will of God, right? Then there has to be the inspiration and the time and the space.
But it's important that we live that story. You know, it's just more than just, you know, it's mother's plea. I mean, you can't really say anything more than that.
A mother's plea.
Right.
Yeah.
It's her plea.
It's her call.
Mm-hmm.
It's
our response.
It really harkens back to the apparitions in Fatima. In fact, all the apparitions of Our Lady, you know, this plea that we convert, that we, in order to have peace, you know, come away from sin, come away from wrongdoing, return to God. Because what is her plea is a plea for peace, and there can be no peace without God. So we got to take a break. We'll do that. We'll come back, and this kind of ties into the students who are graduating. We're talking to Christina a little bit about picking up where we left off yesterday about the anniversary and all that. And the mass, you weren't at the mass yesterday, were you? I don't think you were working and still in the office.
I was working in the office.
It was nice. It was just a nice
the Anoim,
absolutely. So anyway, all right, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to the Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750.
WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Yes, peace and healing. As we prepare for Corpus Christi, the feast of Corpus Christi, the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Christ. It's Jesus who gives himself. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. But I wanted to share this letter. I was, because as I said, we have the graduation of our students this evening. So people are graduating all over the place right now. This is that time of year, right?
Yes.
I guess the universities already have had their graduations. Are they still doing that?
Some people I know have already. Yeah.
It's usually May. Good.
What's
part,
that?
It's part of May where they usually have all the.
You drive around, you see that. It's that time of year. Everybody's in their cap and gowns, you know, all over the place. But the but I was thinking we had the eighth graders at the Mass with all the other kids, and it's you forget how emotional that is for these kids. You know, you don't think so, but the little ones are crying, you know.
The little ones were crying.
Oh, sure, because these, you know, the big kids are leaving, you know, the school, and for them, it's kind of a...
Do they have, like, a big brother, a big sister, maybe?
They do, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah,
okay,
so those kids are, the big kids kind of take care of the little ones and all that, and I'm not saying that they were actually just bawling or really just
crying. Right. But they're sad.
But they're sad, you can see, and some do cry, you know, some of them cry, you know. But the it's kind of cute to watch
the little kids and then the graduates themselves too.
Right? Yeah,
they get emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we forget how what that was like.
Right.
You know, when we were that age.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but you know, the fact is that they're going into the big school, into the high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be dealt with all kinds of things. As I tell them, as I mention, I say to all of you, and I don't mean to be. Or sound pessimistic, but life is a wounding experience.
Yeah. It is.
We get beaten up in this world. It's a wounding experience, and they have to. You know, I always say I don't want to deceive. We're not going to deceive you. The church. I hate deception. I hate to be lied to. Yeah. And you know, graduation. In some ways, so often it's the speeches and the.
Right.
It's all about, you know, it's.
You can do anything.
You're going to conquer the world.
You're going to conquer the world, and it's all yours.
Nothing's
and
stopping
it's all
you.
And
right.
What do they say? Al contrario? Whatever. On the contrary, you know.
Yeah.
But no, true. You know, you got to fight the good fight. That's the thing.
Sure,
you got to be willing. And I told him, I said today, I said, you know, it's not. I said I don't really care about. I care about your education, and people have made a lot of sacrifice. You know, the fact that you've come to the Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents have made sacrifices. Your teachers are making sacrifices because they could be teaching in a public school and getting a lot more money. I said, we're all making sacrifice. I said, I try to be a good priest because I'm conscious of you. In other words, you know, we're all trying to do our best, even though we're imperfect and, you know, you'll find that we're flawed, but we try to do our best because of you. You know, we want to lay a solid foundation. We want to plant the seeds because we know what's out there, and we know what you're going to be up against. And as I said, you know, the life is a wounding experience. And Jesus didn't hold anything back. He said it. He said you're going to have troubles in this. He said that the night his farewell discourse. He said you're going to have troubles in this world, and that's why, you know. And he begged. Jesus pleaded with the Father. You know, it was almost the way he prays that high priestly prayer. It's, you know, please First of all, he tells the disciples, you know, remain united, stay with me. You know, I call you my friends. You've proven yourselves in a sense. You're just no longer servants, but you're my friends. And he prays to the Father, you know, keep them united, because he knows, and he says, he acknowledges the forces are going to come to already begin to create division and try to destroy. You know, Jesus spoke about that. St. Paul spoke about that in his farewell discourse as well. I mean, he holds nothing back as well. I said, we're not going to deceive you. It's not easy out there. And I said, if you walk away, and I told them, I've seen this, you know, over the years, because I said, and a lot of these kids I know from the time they were born.
Right.
I remember when they were born, and I've had their baptisms. But I said, over the years, you know, I said, I know when the light goes out of your eyes, when you go into a bad way, down a bad road, into a bad way, I can see the light go out of your eyes. I see it. I've watched it over the years. And I said, you know, then, you know, it's very sad. I said it breaks my heart. It breaks your mother, your father's heart. You know, it's a very sad thing. So you have to have that ability to stand in faith, be courageous. And I says, if you make a horrible mistake if you walk away from these sacred mysteries. So today we even celebrated the Visitation. Mm-hmm. Well, Christina was at the Mass. You were there, so you heard, you know.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So, I was telling them before you came about how it got really cold in the church. Did you notice that?
You said they were shivering. So
yeah.
You closed the doors, the lateral.
Because at the beginning I said, I went down, I thought, oh my gosh, it's really
beautiful.
Cold.
Beautiful.
I said, is it too cold for you? And they, no. I said, no, keep the doors open.
Yes.
But by the time I got well into the homily, I could see that they were shivering. And I said, are you cold? Yes, we're cold. You know, shut the door. But anyway... So when I came back to my office, I happened to read a letter. This is just, in keeping with where, you know, this, I'm thinking of this graduation, these students who are graduating. Oh, this is the point was, don't walk away from the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
Don't walk away from these sacred mysteries, because this is where you remain grounded. This is where you don't lose your sensitivity. This is where you come to the cenacle, or you go to Nazareth, or you go to the Mount Tabor, or you go wherever. You know, all those biblical places are present in the church every time we enter into the sacred mysteries. You know, the Bible is rewriting itself in a sense, and not where the characters in the story today. But I said, when you don't lose that sensitivity, and you're not going to be so quick to succumb to the deceptions or the illusions or the lies that are out there. But then I came back to my office and I saw this letter that was written. The founder of my religious community, I'm a resurrectionist priest, or the Congregation of the Resurrection, and we were founded in Paris, France in 1849. But the founder was a layman. His name is Bogdan Jainski. And he left home. In those days, he left home quite young. You know, he was 15 years old. He left Poland, and ended up in Paris. And he really got into some bad ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But went through a powerful, powerful conversion. But we happened to find, it was just sent to us, the letter. As they were going through the archives, and I guess they're going through all that stuff in Rome. At the mother house.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were sent this yesterday. I just read it today, though. But it was, they found this letter that his mother sent him, or gave him, I guess, as he was leaving, or maybe after he left. But she said, his name is Bogdan Jainski, but they called him Theodore, is part of his name. She says, my Theo, she says, I cannot say all that I feel. You always humble yourself before me and explain yourself away. I, your mother, who loves and cares for you, easily overlook your faults. I should, however, give you my motherly advice. I suffer because of this. Please remember me, your poor mother, and listen to my counsel. Don't get into bad company. Avoid those who would lead you into worldly and bad habits. Look for companions who will share a good reputation and their love for you. I give you my maternal blessing. Be your own guide, for there is no one to look after you, neither mother or father, nor father. Remember, God sees everything. Be good, be religious, be pious, and God will bless you in all things. My dear Theo, receive this admonition from your mother, who expects very much of you. I hope that I would not live to hear of any evil deeds that you might perform, for surely this would lead me to the grave. You are young and intelligent. Please use your gifts well.
Wow.
It's a powerful letter.
It is.
I'm going to read that tonight to the students at the graduation.
That is so appropriate.
Yeah. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and we can maybe discuss that. So I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Oh, we're still on. Sorry.
Oh, we're still on?
Yeah. So we are. Okay.
Okay.
So, all right.
So we'll just continue.
Just continue until they...
Whatever.
Okay. This happens in professional radio as well, by the way. I was listening to the radio yesterday, and the same thing happened, you know, so...
And so even, like, with the... They had the those live programs, and I'm thinking of the cooking show, this one particular... Yan Can Cook, and he spilled something, and he said, you know, don't... I did this purposely to show you not to do...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
Don't do this.
Right. But anyway, going back to that, but isn't that a beautiful letter?
It is nice.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And it's just, you know, do not, where was that? She says, be good, be religious, be pious, and God will bless you in all things. God sees everything. I just told that to the, I think it was the kids. Are we take a break now? Okay, now for sure?
No, it's for real. Sure? It's for real.
This is for real. We will be back, I hope, I think, maybe. Say a prayer. Okay. This is Father Anthony. You're sharing. You're listening. You're listening. To what?
Winds of Change.
AM 750 WNDZ. We'll be right back.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the Donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. So going back to this letter and the graduation, I was telling the students, I care about their education. Absolutely, I care about their education. But, you know, it's more than they try to put in their head to think, more than, you know, going to the university or whatever. I mean, they're going to high school, so maybe they're not thinking yet about university, but that what's most important is that you be of good character, right? That you be of good character. Or as Bogdan Jański's mother says, you know, that you be good, that you be religious, you be pious, that God bless you. God's blessing comes to those who strive to do good. He knows. He's a God. Certainly, God sees everything. This is the same Sunday, right, at the First Holy Communion about how God sees everything, and everybody's watching, and He knows what's in our heart. And so if we're genuine, we're sincere. Flawed as we are, we muddle through life, we stumble through life. What do they say in Spanish? I love those words they use, like tambaleando.
Yes.
Tambaleando.
Kind of like shaky.
Shaking. Like, what's another one of those? But tambalear. Tambaleando. What does that mean? It's like waddling through life.
Waddling. There you go.
But waddling. It's kind of a similar thing life, in yeah. English. It sounds the same. Mm-hmm. Waddling through life. This is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we keep our eyes on God, which, as I said the other day, this is normal. This is natural. And I think I told the kids today, didn't I, that, you know, don't be boisterous about, you know, somebody. This is what irritates me. It aggravates me.
Mm-hmm.
This almost as if it's a badge of honor to say, you know, that I'm a non-believer, I'm not religious, and then somehow we say that, people say that as if they put themselves. It's kind of it's a posture of arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm better than you. I don't need your crutch, your God, your religion. I'm above that. I'm beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that's not normal.
Nope.
That's not natural.
Nope.
And that is lacking in humility.
Yeah.
You know, we come from God. We go to God. We're made for God. And so what's normal, what's natural, is that we live in God and God live in us. He abide in us. It's a mystery. But is it that mysterious? I mean, it just seems so, as I say, it's a natural thing. It's just we breathe the air. We don't see the air.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that without the air, we have no life, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but it's just like with God. We don't see God, but God is life, you know? And it's just so when Jesus was, we kind of, not necessarily switch gears, but because again, it ties to these graduates, you know, I know they're going to do it because they do it, but maybe somewhere they'll hear my voice or the voice of their parents or somebody's voice who says, or like, you know, the mother of Bogdan Jansky, because he did go astray, mm-hmm. he did deviate, but that voice was in his head. Mm-hmm. She had planted a seed,
yeah.
and he knew when he hit rock bottom where to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Eucharist is where we're grounded. This is what keeps us grounded. And we try not to lose our sensitivity to that. I'm trying to think where my thought was going. I guess this, going back to this, a boisterous, arrogant attitude mm-hmm. that is so prevalent in the society today, that we're above and beyond the God thing, the religion, you know, stuff. It is just that it's arrogance, it's sure. lack of humility, and it's very destructive. It's destructive. It has bad consequences. Mm-hmm. But if there's nobody there or nobody who has laid the foundation, so, you know, in a sense, we're pushing against a wind. We're swimming against the current, but we have to trust in the power of God's grace as we're planting the seeds, you know, as we're mm-hmm. trying to lay a foundation. And it's always, I always think of the Wizard of Oz, you know, how Dorothy had to get away from Kansas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kansas was dull, boring, everything was in black and white, at least on the television. And, you know, she wanted spice in her life, right? Mm-hmm. She wanted something exciting mm-hmm. and new, and so she goes off on this journey, right?
Yes.
And where did it take her? But it took her to a place where she wanted to go home.
Mm-hmm.
No place like
home. No place like home. She didn't know how to get home. But at least she knew that there was a home to go to. She didn't know how to get there,
mm-hmm.
and she needed the help of those friends and the help of the wizard and the good witch and all mm-hmm. that. To get it. When you think about it, that's a beautiful story, really.
It is.
And
isn't
that's
it?
Life.
Sure.
Yeah. It's life, man.
No, how many times have I seen that movie as a child and it just kind of something clicked?
what clicked?
Well, it's at the life. Beginning of the movie, it's black and white. It's all blah.
Yeah.
Like, it's boring.
Unless
I mean, I don't want to say
black and white TV like I did. Never knew it was a
Christina.
Well, yeah. But then it went goes very colorful.
Yeah, so she leaves. 40 years old, and you just realize that?
It just clicked? It just clicked that it...
As you get older, you think more.
No, because
contemplate.
You know, we're so visual, so you get caught up distracted with other things.
Sure.
So I was distracted with the munchkins and all that. The fantasy. But now it makes sense that's how we are in life. We're in the search. We're looking. Mm-hmm. And we belong to God. We go back home to Him.
Right.
That's what our destination.
Isn't that the adulthood is the quest to get back to the innocence of our childhood?
Mm-hmm.
Where we were, as Jesus said, let the little children come to me because to them belongs the kingdom of God, because they're open to wonder at the marvel of God. I say that so often as well. And I think, you know, what happens is, we get bored. And, you know, so, I mean, we've all been there, right?
Sure.
We've all been there, done that. Well, not done all that.
Not all, but we sort of get sidetracked a little bit.
Exactly, yeah.
Others more than
exactly.
Some more than others.
Caught up in yourself
and
this or that or whatever, and God gets put to the back burner.
Yes.
And it happens.
And we think we know it. We know better.
Oh, sure.
Or even, I know more than, or I even make myself a God. Mm-hmm. I don't need God. I mean, it's just a learning experience.
Yeah. I can do it my way.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's interesting, and we're all over the place now all of a sudden, but it's okay.
But it's
all right.
All connected.
It's connected. Of course, everything is connected, isn't it? So what about the Wizard of Oz? And I'm just trying to think, I'm trying to think of the Eucharist. Because the Eucharist is this unique, sublime mystery of the faith, mm-hmm. right? It's Jesus who remains with us in this hidden way, in a hidden way. Actually, okay, so now I just thought of me. I just thought of this. Because I'm thinking Eucharist and the Wizard of Oz, because I could go into a whole thing on the Wizard of Oz.
Something just clicked.
I just thought of the image of... How is it when the good witch,
mm-hmm.
who really is it represents the Blessed Virgin
mm-hmm.
Mary, but when she comes almost like in the host,
right.
like the it's round at the host.
Light. Oh, the light! Yes.
Yeah.
I have to go back and see the movie.
I don't know. I'm just maybe stretching the imagination.
It's true how the Blessed Mother's always there, always pointing us to the sun.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And then the good witch was kind of guiding her.
Doesn't she say, go see the wizard?
That's what she said, the wizard. So she keeps guiding her.
So who is the wizard? The wizard would be the priest.
Right.
This is kind of fun.
That's interesting. No.
Toto aside. That's your little baby, yeah, whatever. Your little. But you know, she needed. They each needed each other, right?
Right.
Those characters.
Yes.
They needed. I'm thinking this is. I wish I had more time for the kids this evening. I'd like to talk about this, but so they had the scarecrow, they had the lion, they had the tin man, and then of course there was Dorothy,
right.
And the tin man he wanted a heart, and the scarecrow wanted a brain.
Courage. Brains, and
the lion wanted courage,
yeah.
And Dorothy just wanted to go home, right?
Just want to go home.
But they needed each other. But what was a beautiful thing is, so they go to the wizard, who represents the priest,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And who has to point beyond himself as well, because he's not God,
mm-hmm.
And of course they're in this battle because it's the battle between good and evil,
yes.
right? So there's this force that is out there mm-hmm. wanting to destroy them,
mm-hmm.
the bad witch, seeking to destroy them, and I'm thinking now about the water, how the water destroyed the witch, the bad witch,
the holy water,
the baptismal water. We can do a whole thing on this, but in any case. They needed each other on the way. They needed mm-hmm. the courage of the lion who thought he had no courage.
Mm-hmm.
They needed the brain of the scarecrow who thought he had no brain.
Right.
And they needed the heart of the tin man who thought he had no heart.
Yeah.
And Dorothy didn't know how to go home, but the power to go home was within her. In fact, home was within.
Yes.
But they help each other to... they need all those gifts in order to attain... Mm-hmm. or to come to the realization that they, the wizard pointed out to them finally at the end of all things that, you know, you want me to give you a heart, but you've always had a heart, you know, to give you this this clock that ticks, because a heart ticks, right?
Or sure.
That,
you know, yes.
But no, this is, but you have a heart. The scarecrow was always acting with intelligence. He was the wise one, the intelligent one, and the lion was courageous.
Courage. And you know what? Now the ruby slippers.
What about the ruby slippers?
To me, that's like, you know how the witch wanted to take those away. That's right. Our faith. That's what keeps us going.
Interesting, wow. Christina. That's very interesting.
And she wanted to take
that
away from
wow.
her.
Wow.
And your little dog.
The dog is just a companion. It's just a comfort.
Right, another one.
Comfort. He's comforting.
And who are the bullies? You know, everybody's into the bullies.
Those little monkeys.
The monkeys.
Yeah. Oh, the monkeys. Yeah.
Anyway.
What a lollipop.
There's so much symbolism. I didn't
there really,
realize.
No, there's a lot. It's a very religious. It really is a very.
I've never.
I see this
never
movie again.
Now I have to see it again, Father.
Well, you should see that. Yeah, that's a good thing. But anyways,
but
we should take.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Please.
No, but it's all connected. Because we're all on
connect
a journey.
Connect us. Pull it all together for us, please.
We're all on the journey. So the eighth graders, okay, they finished, they're graduating, and they're going to continue their journey. So there's always a different phase in our journey. So we finish one, and we go to the next. It's like an obstacle course.
No, but you get the point well made, and we have to let go.
Mm-hmm.
As this is like as a priest there, I had to say, you know, I felt deeply, you know, this not just a kind of a sadness, you know, in the
sure.
sense that, you know, I really do love you, not, you know, as your parents do, certainly, but I love you, you know, I love you because of your humanity, and because I know what's out there, and there's you want to protect these young people
yes.
from the wounding experience of life, but you know what? You got to let them go.
Yeah.
You've laid the foundation. You've planted the seed. You've got to let them go, and you know they're going to get beaten up in a way. But don't forget where home is, and that you have within you. And I did say that this morning that God abides within
mm-hmm.
you, and so the first mistake you make is you walk away, and that's a mistake they're going to make. Many of them, I suspect.
Okay.
I'm not naive. I've seen it over the years, you know. But you got to remember where home is.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, before you take the break, and I remember this, and I might have shared this before, but one New Year's Eve, we have always a midnight mass at New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the mass, I was in the back of the church as people were leaving. I was, you know, wishing them a happy new year. This was after the mass. And as I'm saying goodbye to the people, we're all talking, one of a former student came in. I didn't recognize him. Of course, they change after they leave here because they mature a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, he came up to me. He was kind of off to the side. And he came up to me and he said, would you hug me? Would you just give me a hug? I'm saying that, you know, today people would, you know, today it's just
sure.
people,
right.
you know. And I said, absolutely, you know, and he just broke down. He just started crying,
uh-huh.
you know. And he was, I don't know what happened. He didn't want to go into it. And he just said, I just need you to hug me.
Mm-hmm.
And he started crying. So whatever he was going through, and he just felt, I could sense that he felt that he was somehow lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
That he was somehow strengthened,
mm-hmm.
and that was it, you know, but it goes to the point that they, because we've laid the foundation, mm-hmm. they know where home is, Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support Winds of Change at AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. www.winsofchange.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
All human life is precious, and all humans are created equal. But not all vitamins are created equal. One company's vitamins stand taller than the rest. At For Life Vitamins, we promote health from the womb to the tomb and support the pro-life movement. Dr. Christosik created For Life Vitamins to optimize your healthy habit of taking vitamins and protect the health of unborn children, the infirmed, and the elderly by donating 10% of sales to support Father Bush's life-changing ministry. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 888-879-1190. Dr. Christosik has helped over 13,000 patients reclaim their health with For Life's vitamins. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190. Simply change your vitamin company and save a life. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I'm trying to put this into, you know, the let's just go, because so Corpus Christi is Sunday, and I've often wondered about this mystery, because it is, we call it the sublime mystery of the faith, and that is that God remains with us. Of course, God is in His Word, in the Word of God, in the Scripture. He's in the magisterial teaching of the Church, the apostolic tradition. God is can be found in creation. He is the Creator. We should find God in each other, because we are, as it was St. Thomas Aquinas who said that, I mentioned this, I think, yesterday, but that God became human, that man become divine, that man become God. Not that we're going to be God, but we're grafted into the life of God, unless we separate ourselves, which is death, right? God is life. But the but in a unique way. So yes, we can, you know, in the beauty of creation, the birth of a baby, and in the love that people have one for another, you know, we can say this is all of God. But in a unique way, He remains with us in the Eucharist, in the hidden manna, as the Book of Revelation refers to the hidden manna, that bread that sustained the Israelites on their journey through the desert until they got to the Promised Land. You know, Jesus, all this was a prefiguration, a preparation for God who would become incarnate. We would see God in the flesh. See the face of God. He would teach us and redeem us, show us a way, and he would remain with us under the hidden guise of bread and wine. That bread and wine becomes his body and blood. And it is, we call it the sublime mystery, because how do you, and I remember asking the question when I was in my early 20s, and I really grappled with the church teaching that the bread and the wine we receive at the Mass in the Holy Eucharist is indeed the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Christ. And until I finally found it in John. I mean, there's a whole story that goes into that, my own personal conversion, my epiphany, you know, that manifestation where all of a sudden I knew with certitude, in faith but with certitude, that Jesus was indeed in the Eucharist, that this was not just mere bread that I was receiving, but it was really Christ, and that He called me into that mystery in a rather deep and a rather intimate way, and I've been there ever since. And I just marvel at people's faith in the Eucharist, because there are people who don't have to, we can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't explain it. But even Jesus, I think, you know, when those disciples said, when Jesus says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will have life in you. And his disciples, in the scriptures, these were his disciples. And they said, well, how can you give us your flesh to eat and your blood to drink? I mean, it even sounds weird to say that, mm-hmm, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And Jesus didn't answer the question. He just said, and he said it 5 or 6 times, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will have life in you. This is food for the journey. In that collapse, as you go on your way, food that will be eaten unto eternal life. And they said, this is intolerable, yeah, teaching. This is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Who can withstand this kind of teaching? And Jesus, and they decided, they said, you know, we can no longer, these are his disciples, mind you, they said, we can no longer remain in the company of this man. And they walked away. They walked away. And Jesus, he looked at the 12 apostles, and the scripture says he knew, of course, that one of them would betray him, sell him out. But he said to the 12, he said, do you wish to leave as well? And Peter said, Lord, we believe, we've come to believe you have the words of everlasting life. Where do we go? Now, what he's saying, Peter is saying, you know, we don't understand either. We can't figure this, but we believe you have the words of life everlasting. Where do we go? No, we choose to stay with you. And indeed they did, unto their own death, you know, for love of Christ. But isn't that where we are today as well, you know? Many people who are either ignorant, or maybe they haven't been taught,
mm-hmm,
or people just walk away. We were experiencing what we call an apostasy, a going away from the faith, a going away from Christ. But it goes back, as we started, with that anawim, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you wish to go as well? Do you wish to go? You're free to go, because God isn't going to put a gun to our head and force us. We're free.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be love.
Yeah.
And while we cannot explain it, We believe he has the words of everlasting life. We stay with him. And by the way, you know, that's the one dogma, the one belief that has always been believed by the church from the very beginning, is that Jesus is truly, really present in the bread and wine, that what we receive is not bread and wine, but is indeed his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity. Food for the journey, that we not collapse as we go on our way. And so, for this, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Still. All right, everybody, have a very nice weekend. We have a Mass, by the way, Sunday, 9:30, Corpus Christi, followed by procession. Everybody's invited. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Ciao.
Time to be stirred, the time is now.